Well, hello there. First off, thank you for tuning in and for downloading this podcast. We here at Portland Community College are glad to have you on board for our journey exploring sustainability and environmental justice in higher education. If you have a good story to share or would just like to know more, please do pop on the web and go to pcc.edu/sustain. There you can find ways to connect or see what else we're up to. PCC was just ranked second overall in North America on the ASHE 2018 Sustainability Campus Index for Associate Colleges, and we're happy to share with you how we got here. Now that we've got this plug out of the way, we'll get into the episode. Thanks again for tuning in. From Portland Community College, this is PCC Sustain Me. I'm Joe Calhane, and this is WOHESC 2018 Part 2, featuring Washington Campus Beekeepers.
Boom, boom, darkness falls, headlights in the air.
Well, thank you for joining me, folks. This episode is a follow-up from the 2018 Washington-Oregon Higher Education Sustainability Conference. The focus of this episode will be all about bees. Specifically, I had the pleasure of sitting down with a group of people from Washington colleges who believe there could be a great benefit from a collaboration between beekeepers across the higher education spectrum, and eventually beyond. As many of you may be aware, bees are among some of the most important pollinators on the planet, and there have been some severe declines in their populations. While our conversation did briefly touch on this, I'm really quite pleased to share that this was largely a very optimistic discussion that left me inspired and excited for what these folks are working towards creating. And during the course of the talk, I also came to learn, as you will, that this conference and their session here is actually the beginning of their journey as they formalize this organization and collaboration together. Before moving into this great conversation, though, I would like to take a moment now to acknowledge that this program is being recorded on the traditional village sites of the Multnomah, Cathlamet, Clackamas, Bands of the Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Molalla, and many other tribes who made their homes along the Columbia River. Multnomah is a band of Chinooks that lived in this area. We thank the descendants of these tribes for being the original stewards and protectors of these lands since time immemorial. We also acknowledge that Portland, Oregon has the 9th largest urban Native American population in the U.S., with over 380 federally recognized tribes represented in the urban Portland metropolitan area. We also acknowledge the systemic policies of genocide, relocation, and assimilation that still impact many indigenous Native American families today. We are honored by the collective work of many Native nations, leaders, and families who are demonstrating resilience, resistance, revitalization, healing, and creativity. We are honored to be guests upon these lands. Thank you, and thanks also to our colleagues at the Portland State University Indigenous Nation Studies Program for crafting this acknowledgement. As briefly mentioned already, I had the good fortune to sit with 4 active members of the beekeeping community in Washington State who are working to form an organization connecting colleges and universities that shall, let us say, keep a healthy buzz flowing between all institutions involved with better collaboration and shared best practices throughout the beekeeping world in higher education. It was comprised of Mary Whitfield and Gwen Schlichta from Edmonds Community College, Evan Sugden from the University of Washington, and Danny Nahara from Green River College. These 4 were part of a session called Pollinator Gardens and Hives, Beekeeping as a Teaching Tool on College Campuses. Their moderators for this session happened to be PCC's very own Elaine Cole and Anne Lassen, who are both, dare I say it, the bee's knees. And collectively, they have a great deal of knowledge when it comes to our amazing pollinator friends. Cheesy puns aside, I really enjoyed our talk, and While it did primarily involve sustainability in regards to beekeeping and education, our talk also touched on some social justice issues as well. All right, without further ado, let us get into that conversation, shall we? Well, maybe we could just go around the room real quick and you can share your individual campus kind of connections, and then we can just talk about what you're all doing together.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound all right? Just starting a circle here. Evan, go ahead and share a little bit about the University of Washington's program and Beekeeper Association.
Let me just start by taking just a few seconds to bees and beekeeping have to do with sustainability, because that's why we're here.
I think that's a good idea.
And so that's a good bridge. Bees are really good environmental sentinels. They're very sensitive to what happens in the environment. The beekeepers learn this right away. And so the connection to sustainability is really pretty strong. If you don't have a healthy environment, you don't have healthy bees. So this lesson is becoming stronger and stronger to anyone who gets into bees. So bees are an environmental indicator, but also a tremendous teaching platform and a way to get people looking at not only beekeeping itself, but other sustainability issues. So the tie-in is really pretty great. It's not just general interest.
Nice. Do you also incorporate other pollinators in some of your, like, education outreach and such?
I do. Three of us are entomologists, but my training background is primarily working with native bees and butterflies, so, and moth pollinators. So we definitely are interested in incorporating that in as an educational tool. So there are many of our native bees are also are demonstrating that they're quite sensitive to changes, particularly effects of restructuring of a usage of land has had a lot of effect on it, but certainly pesticides as well. And global climate change for sure has had some effect on overwintering and survival of some of the native bees. And so we're looking at that as well and talking about those sort of things. I don't know if you had anything to add, Danny.
We run mason bees because they're awesome and little small, and they show a different type of bee, a solitary bee. And then we get rescue bumblebees. So some of the pest control people will say, hey, somebody wanted me to get rid of this wasp nest, but it's actually a bumblebee nest. Do you want it? And their nest construction is very different, but they are a social bee. And so we get to show students another side of that social bee coin, so to speak. And they're fuzzy and very charismatic. And their stings are something like a gentle sting, if that's possible. Mm-hmm. It's a little different.
Nice. And how many colleges are part of this WCB so far?
The organization isn't really formal at this point. We've informally attached ourselves, but right now there are, in Western Washington that I know of, four campuses with bees. There's the University of Washington, Edmonds Community College, Green River College. I know that Gonzaga has bees. They're on the east side. So
Western
has bees too. Okay.
So. And Renton is getting started.
Oh, really? Okay. So it's growing, and so Evan's been a big proponent of trying to, get us all together on a shared mission, and so there's no formal structure yet. We're working on that.
And that's what you're presenting on today later on.
We're presenting as a team, and we're going to share the kind of different aspects of each of our programs that we all do things a little bit different and just to show what can be done.
So it's not informal anymore. You've solidified it right here today.
I guess so.
It's kind of a real thing. This was the facility of this conference and why we applied, just because it was a place to get started in formalizing things, because this is a movement that goes even way beyond Washington. I mean, there are colleges all over the country now who have bee programs, and so it makes sense.
Right. PCC is actually a
certified bee campus, right. We're working on that as well, that certification.
Nice.
Yeah. So we're not really called the WCB. We just sort of made that up on the spot, so there's no WCB website yet.
But maybe that will be very soon.
Maybe there will be.
That could be our name. But
I think it's catchy. And campuses is more inclusive, because then you can broaden the higher education to, like you were saying,
prisons or
elementary, middle school, high school, and just tie it all together.
We're spreading the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an important one, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the bee decline and the neonicotinoid. That's a big word,
neonicotinoid
usage. And I casually have followed beekeeping and done a conference or two, a workshop, but haven't personally taken on the beekeeping at home yet. I am highly aware of the pesticide issues, and thankfully our campus is, as a bee campus, has removed so many of those, you know, detrimental forces. We still have a lot of non-native plants and not as many pollinator friendly, you know, flowers and mm-hmm. perennials. That is an issue I'm sure that you'll all be facing and are confronting regularly.
Well, and one of the issues with beekeeping is that the bees love those invasive species, so that's always a bit of a tension there, right? Some of the best forage for the bees is the Japanese knotweed, the blackberry, the Himalayan blackberry. Mm-hmm. You know, bees love it, but so, you know, there are those conversations that come up. Mm-hmm. But one of the themes of our presentation is, because we're educational institutions, is using the beekeeping as a point of entry to education as a teaching tool, and not necessarily just about beekeeping, but as a pathway into sustainability. And at my campus, we're doing projects with the engineering department. You know, they're building extractors. So there's lots of ways you can just use beekeeping as a point of entry to other types of educational projects, undergraduate research, mm-hmm. lots of things. I'm the non-bug person in the room, so, mm-hmm. you know, I come to this as a...
You are.
I don't have a natural point of entry to my classes, which are chemistry, but... There's still lots of ways you can reach out and use the bees as a point of entry to another educational conversation.
But that being said, since plant chemistry is such a big influence on beekeeping and bees and bee health as well, that chemistry is a natural connection, I think, because I did a lot of work on the effects of plant chemistry on pollinators, on the herbivores that are eating the plants. So there is, as a teaching tool, it's not so difficult to extend beyond just the biology department and talk about the interaction between the plants and the interaction between the plants and the insects that are feeding upon the plant in different ways and different forms, that it's not such a difficult connection to make with chemistry as well. So I think that there's that possibility. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to work on that and develop that in our department, and I know Bellevue College is as well, like extracting, doing analysis of honey, analysis of nectar. You can also look at, you can measure things like the amount of pesticides that are found in things like honey and to some extent nectar as well. So
is that maybe a part of the goal, like developing an integrative curriculum that you can just like apply into each of the institutions and maybe have like an actual, like, here's a how to like put this into your school and to that, is that what kind of propelled this? Like, did you start this, Evan, or how did this come together?
Well, we've been interacting for some time. I've known Danny and Mary for quite a while, and Gwen for a while now too, and there are other people in Washington with whom we've all been interacting in the arena of bees and beekeeping. So, you know, coming together has been already happening for a while.
Yeah.
And I've invited various colleagues to give guest lectures and like. Class, for example. So,
and we've had Evan and Danny.
So the tie-ins are pretty strong already.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We're social
beginning
creatures.
Of it.
We're
just
social creatures.
I would say we've recognized that we're starting to get something like a critical mass where we can start to really pull together and make something that really pushes outward. And this conference is going to give us a pretty nice platform to reach out to people who are interested, but they may see some, you know, issues of whether they can do it or not, and we're here to kind of relieve those potential boundaries or obstacles.
That's great. Yeah, part of the initiative that I was attempting to create with this particular WOHESC podcast, but also just in the grander higher education, is a hopes to build a narrative and a story that others can refer to and have easy access to, so that we don't continually try and, you know, reinvent the wheel. So it sounds like that's what you're about to do, is like there's no point in one of you developing this curriculum while someone else has already created it. And so the better that is available and accessible.
Well, that'll be reflected in our talks later today too, because we're each taking kind of a slice of the pie because we overlap each other so much. So we're not telling our whole story. Each one of us, we're just taking.
And I would say that we have different areas of expertise, and so we bring that to the table. And as a teaching community, a teaching learning community, that if we work together, we can really strengthen and come up with really good ideas that can be applied across all of our campuses and other campuses, hopefully eventually as we develop curriculum in the classroom that can be used out in the field. We teach some similar classes, and I know that we're working with, chatting with Bellevue about the integration of chemistry into that. And so I think there's a lot of potential, but it will move faster and work and be a better better group or come up with better curriculum as we work together and on using our strengths. So.
Yeah, when we say, sorry, Danny, when we say we're using the beekeeping as a teaching tool, for me, especially as a non-entomologist in the room, the teaching tool is not just us teaching students, but teaching each other. I mean, I learn a lot from my collaborations with these guys. And that's really what teaching and learning is all about, happens at all levels.
And it just really impacts the students. It's very hard to take students out into the field all the time, especially in biology. And if you're lucky enough, like Danny, to have something right across the street, but not always the case. But a lot of community gardens are on campuses now. And community gardens, the easy connection to there is from a community garden is having bees in your community garden, if that's possible. And it allows for us to take students out and have really a hands-on interaction with, whatever you're teaching. I teach the animal biology side of it. I teach Western Washington ecology, so out in the community garden, we have native bees. We can start to talk about those relationships, and it really means more to the students to do that than sitting in a classroom and looking at PowerPoint slides. So I feel like the students always come back and talk about what an impact that's had, and we do, at our school, we do a lot of service learning associated with it, so they go out into the field and they help us with the bees, they help us with extraction, they help us with setting up the hives, they help us in the community garden. So all those things, I think, make it a more meaningful educational experience for them. So, and for me too, because I get to play around with bugs.
Yeah, I appreciated that about Pandora's.
Yes, exactly. Speech. Really ties in well. That was a fantastic
Pandora Thomas, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the engagement with, like, out of the classroom is so much where real learning is, mm-hmm. I mean, we can learn sitting and, having dialogues in the classroom, but that hands-on is so valuable. It's great that you have that. It sounds like pretty readily already, Danny, but that you're working towards mm-hmm. that being just a part of every, schools.
Danny has a really active research program. You've done some
Yeah, you
haven't
talked about it.
Yeah. Sort of, yeah, I'd love to hear that. Back on the theme of education, I think Mary mentioned, we are going to learn from each other. In terms of our programs, we're going to learn, the students are going to learn from the programs, but there's also this connection that the bees teach the students. Mm-hmm. And as a teacher, you're always looking for a lesson that students don't forget, right? Because they often, take it in one ear and it goes out the other ear, or after the class is over, they kind of let it go or lose it or whatever. But the experiences I've had with my students with the bees, I run them through it and I show them where the brood is and where the honey is and this organization and all this structure and functionality. And when they walk away from that, I don't know how many times I've heard something along the lines of like, they're staring at this massive group of bees and they say something like, I will never kill a bee again. And you can't do that in the classroom in the same way. And you just gave that student an experience that they will never, ever forget in their entire life. So as a teacher, it is golden, mm-hmm. and the bees do a lot of the work for us. So it's really, really potent.
That's beautiful. And that kid is going to share that experience and ripple out into his or her, experience out in the world.
And a lot of that is really the kernel of sustainability, because that's what we're talking about. We are saving the planet, but this is a little encapsulation of it right there.
I appreciate hearing that about the bees being the teachers. We live in such a anthropocentric, just like human narrative that like we're the only worthy subject matter to even discuss, and I hope to see more of that being like illuminated, that we're just another one of the animals on the planet. While we have constructed all these civilizations and buildings, we're just one tiny segment, growing almost viral segment of the animal population. But bees, if we stop. Check our hierarchy of our minds, that we're like the highest, and just look at these teachers, it's really impressive.
They have such interesting, you could tie in with some other humanities classes on campus, because they have such an interesting social structure and organizational structure, and the way the whole colony is managed. And there's a great beekeeper, Thomas Seeley. He's at Cornell, and he's written this book, Honeybee Democracy, and I've seen him give that talk, and it's really very interesting how he kind of lays out how decision making is made. And we haven't built that class at our college, but that's an easy connection, is to organizational structure, collective, collaborative decision making. And it's really fascinating how the bees do that, how they do their waggle dance, and how that's a way that decisions are made. that we can learn from.
And they're doing a lot of studies, I mean, even from an engineering and even aeronautics and all sorts of different fields where they're looking at how bees communicate and how they figure out locations, like the waggle dance, for example. So I know that they're using that in even in transportation and how they move through different types of environments. So people have done a lot of studies with bees that are purely not from a biological perspective, but looking at it from much more of an engineering perspective. So that's why we work a bit with our engineering department as well. So there's a lot of potential there for that, although that's not my personal expertise, but
yeah. Moving back to the research side of it, one of the things that a lot of the people who want to keep bees now, the new incoming beekeepers, don't realize that this is an organism, and there are pests and there are diseases on this organism, and nature isn't always kind, and we have some significant pests. So our research has focused on one of the most significant pests at this point, the varroa mite. And it's very easy to check, but a lot of beekeepers in the area and across the country are not performing the check. So we can train students how to assess the health of a colony, how many mites are in a colony, what percentage of mites per bee, and all that sort of stuff, track it over time, and disseminate that information out to the public, to the beekeeping association, so they can make more informed decisions about what they can do and what types of options there are. There are everything from completely synthetic chemical treatments to non-synthetic treatments to mechanical treatments. And I think it's one of these really amazing things where the bees are giving us this signal as long as we're looking at it. And if we respond together as a group of beekeepers, we should be able to do a very good job at dealing with some of these diseases. But the entry point information, the primary data, especially for the new incoming beekeepers, is just not there yet. And if we can turn that torch over to the students, because it's really easy to detect in a lot of ways, they can become part of a solution for sustainability for the bees.
And Danny's program's really fantastic in doing the fact that the students are doing that collection of data and learning sort of about the scientific process and collecting that data and analyzing that data and then really seeing an impact with what they're doing and the data that they're collecting over from year to year. And I think that is really important for students to realize that, you know, they can the data, collection of data and the scientific process can really have an impact on something like the survival of bees in an area by giving that information to things like the Beekeepers Association. So he's really been doing that at his campus, and we would really love to start doing something more like that as well at our campus as well. So,
and as a teacher of these students, when you see them present to a beekeeping organization,
yeah,
you just feel so proud.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they're so nervous, and they do a great job, and the beekeepers are all just up and, you know, standing and applauding and just really impressed. And so there's that other just developmental process for that student that now feels confident. You know, they produce something that other people enjoy and will take to heart and will use. And they didn't totally freak out when they got in front of people to talk. So it's beautiful.
That gives me goosebumps, genuinely. I'm like, my heart's warmed by that because it is giving the youth a sense of agency. And then beyond that, a way to participate in what we know we need to do and do like now, and we can't depend on these old systems, and the youth are they have more energy.
Yeah.
You know, they're in engaged and curious just before we indoctrinate them with the current educational system. So it sounds like you are giving that platform to them and that sense of purpose, which is so neat, because kids aren't just, yeah, they play and they figure things out, though there can be applications to that discovery that you're saying. I'm just like,
and it's definitely
beautiful.
It's definitely a way to, I think, when I first started teaching, I wasn't really aware of like service learning as a way to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I mean, service learning is exactly what you're describing. You can get educated and wait to impact your society after you get your degrees, or you can do it while you're being educated. Really empowers students. And I tell colleagues of mine, our goal is to make them like useful citizens that have better decision-making, this whole concept of education, right? But they can do it now. Like, there's no reason to wait. Mm-hmm. And so it's very empowering for the students.
It's like a little internship. Yeah, and we, you know, we run a lot of our beekeeping stuff through a club structure because we don't have a formal course yet, although, you know, Gwen and I are going to put that together. And the club structure is an important part of a college environment too, because it's a social opportunity for students. A lot of students are kind of looking for ways to interact socially, don't know how to do it. So clubs are the way that you kind of find your people. Mm-hmm. And also providing leadership opportunities. You know, they can step up at whatever level they want and take that wherever they want to take it. The speaker this morning was talking about she was the one that, you know, joined every single club on campus. And we have people that come in and are super energetic, and we have people that just kind of drift in and out. And I think you don't necessarily know how that little tiny experience might kind of just impact them down the road. We have people that come out and put on a bee suit and visit the bees one time. I never see them again, you know, but I'm imagining they keep that with them, you know, mm-hmm. and so they could be part of a whole program where they're engaged and active for a year or two, or they could just drop in and visit the bees one time, and that can still, you know, you're just touching a lot of people through just one interaction.
And
it's powerful, it is.
And at a community college, you know, that club structure is, I think, even in some ways even more important, because they often they're not living on campus or near campus, and so that allows for them to, I mean, we know that having a sense of belonging really improves their experience and their ability to graduate from, whether that be community college or university, that they have a sense of belonging to that place. And things like clubs and being part of, like, you know, the campus in terms of the community garden or taking care of the bees, these all help facilitate that sense of belonging and sense of place. And I know that for many biology classrooms and classrooms in general, one of the things that we really is important is part of the Vision and Change, which is an NSF grant that was looking at the kinds of things we're trying to teach in the classroom, that one of the most important things for me is the connection between science and society. And those things about, like what Danny's doing, is connecting, you know, having students do things that really impact their community and really help their community, and they can see that connection by actually doing it. And then the clubs bring in that connection between the campus and their own personal involvement in the campus. So,
and I want to just say we brought 4 students with us to the conference. Mm-hmm. They're not here with us in this room, but they're, you know, I think that's a really positive experience mm-hmm. for them. They're going to be with us at our presentation today.
Oh, great. They're mm-hmm. going to be up involved in that?
They're going to be, you know,
near-ish?
Yeah, they're going to be in the room, and we'll introduce them. And
be the cheerleading section.
Yeah.
They're our cheerleading section. They'll be answering all the questions.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and I'm really pleased we were able to bring them, and, you know, those are transformative experiences for students, mm-hmm. so it's nice when that can happen. So
I realize this is still in its infancy. Is there any, like, initial wildest dreams of what this is going to be like in, like, 5 years, or, like, you know, like, has there been any goals or benchmarks that have been set for, like, what you hope to accomplish? I mean, we already covered a lot of, like, what you plan to bring into classrooms, but is there, like, a...
Well, Gwen and I want to get, a formal class, so...
Yeah.
I personally want to be like Danny. That's not going to happen, but that is... We're talking kind of wildest dreams.
Sure.
I think it can happen. So I think one big initiative would be that we all become Bee Campuses, so certified
yeah.
Bee USA
That's
campuses.
That's a good tangible outcome.
And
yeah.
that would be a tangible outcome for us.
As long as
and
we
then
get there before Green River.
We have okay. to get there before Green River. But and then after that, I think that certainly integrating, for us, integrating that research component, I'm a fairly... a new professor at the campus, so I would like to start more using bees and other sort of surveys of native bees and more citizen science in the classroom. So I'm laying the groundwork to do that in the future. Certainly, it would be wonderful to have some sort of, you know, group that we meet on a more regular basis that the students can take part in as well, and we can share our research with each other as a community. So not just with the beekeepers, but with each other, and maybe even long-term thinking about working on research together across many different, particularly community college campuses is also important to me, because I think that often that research component is a little bit harder to obtain and really important for these students as well. So I think that would be a great, you know, great collaboration between multiple campuses all across.
Yeah, I think probably the most realistic next step is to just formalize this idea of an organization that we've already hatched. That can happen fairly soon. I'm hoping in a year, at the most 2 years, you know, we could have some formalized connections and which would hopefully facilitate more cooperation in various ways. We also have to mention that in Washington, the premier bee teaching and research organization is Washington State University, and they're not represented here, as far as I know, which is too bad. And so we always need to pay homage to them because they're kind of the royalty of
the
bee world there. Mm-hmm. And I actually do have strong connections there and work with them. They just don't happen to be part of this group in any number I know of.
Is that a potential?
Oh, definitely.
Integration there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I
hope
so. I mean, I think what we need to do is we did this with our college chemistry teachers in Washington. Is we just we started saying, okay, we need to be getting together, and then that grew, and now we have an annual conference. And I think we have enough beekeepers now. You know, it's great to come to this conference and kind of bring it out into the whole sustainability world, but we have enough to talk about that, we get a few more people in the mix, we can build our own conference and have an annual meeting.
Yeah.
And because the
WSU
time together
would definitely be part of it.
Yeah.
It's always been hard to, it's kind of hard to bridge the gap across the mountain in Washington. There's sort of eastern and western Washington, and all professionals are kind of irritated by that. We're always trying to congeal, but it's, so they will become part of our circle, and we already are in a way kind of a part of theirs, so it'll happen.
Awesome. Any other insights or experiences here at Wohuskia? Any can you care to share? Like one great first day,
Well, I just found the talk this morning. Your listeners won't necessarily know,
but
we just had a very inspirational talk this morning. So just about making those bridges, out just from beekeeping, tying into sustainability, pollinator gardens, other pollinators, reaching out beyond our
little
bee world.
Recognizing each of our assets and then putting those together, it seems like a crucial step that has been at a systemic level.
Bringing in the social justice and
social
equity kisses,
that's
key,
important.
And like to try to be more explicit about that.
And I think that is really evident also at a lot of the community college as well, because we have such diversity there that making people realize or bringing to the table the fact that everybody has assets to bring, and that being involved and recognizing that people come from different places and different perspectives, just like we learned yesterday about, if you're a migrant worker or come from a migrant worker family, your perspective on working in a community garden or working with bees may be quite different than if you're coming from, being a Seattleite growing up on Capitol Hill or something. So.
And as we bring in the prison beekeepers, again, that ties in with the talk this morning about reentry programs and social justice.
Mm-hmm.
That I think there's a real mechanism there.
There's real potential.
I also like the idea of native bees and other types of bees, because there's a pretty big movement in various other parts of the world to get people into higher education by studying diversity. And so often they'll send some of their students to, for me it was the University of Kansas, to learn about how to identify and get that knowledge of entomology, and then take that back and build a program of assessing biodiversity in their regions. And I think in today's world, the younger kids they don't have a great sense of what biodiversity is right in their face, right around them, in their gardens, in the forest nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the sustainability to me is recognizing what we're trying to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
And this side of nature that you walk past these plants day in, day out, and the students don't know what's edible, what's, toxic, and all these sorts of things. They're just not as directly connected as generations in the past have been. So I think a primary reestablishment of that connection is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And the bees facilitate that in a lot of ways, because like everyone's saying, you learn what's blooming. Like you have to pay attention. Every time you're driving around, you're looking at flowers, you're looking at trees to assess what your bees are thinking and what they're moving and what they're searching for. So it begins to really immerse yourself and then, of course, immerse the students in the system that we all take part with and all sort of, interact with in this natural system around us.
And we have the Xerces Society here, so here in Portland,
and
who do a lot of work with native bee conservation and education. And so these are collaborations that are, could be something in the future for us if we're thinking big dreams, about educating our students about the diversity and perhaps taking part more, be more involved in some of the surveys that are going on with bumblebee populations and other types of native bee populations. And beyond that, I'd like to think beyond just bees and think about other types of pollinators. Although bees are the best pollinators, I don't deny that.
And I want to acknowledge also, they're not in the room with us, but the Portland Beekeepers, who mm-hmm. are co-presenting with us today, and just the opportunity to collaborate with them and meet them mm-hmm. is, as in any conference, really the best part is the people you meet and talk to. So that's been a real pleasure getting to know them. And,
mm-hmm. and that's PCC, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, PCC yeah. Rock Creek Campus, yeah. So mm-hmm. and
they're awesome.
Yeah, they are incredible. And I didn't get a chance to go out and see their operation on this short conference, but I am planning
we will be back.
A return. Is
it?
Yeah.
We will be back.
It's all cool. about the bee puns.
Mm-hmm.
This has been great. I appreciate getting kind of on the ground level of your new,
yeah.
bee collaborative
hive.
Hive of
hive.
We're just building
creating.
Comb right now.
Yeah,
building comb.
Brood
will come next.
Yeah.
come next. That's great.
We brought some brood.
We did bring some brood. Yeah.
We brought brood.
Fifth and star. Fifth and star.
Yeah.
So you are presenting today, and your talk is The Pollinator Gardens and Hives Beekeeping as a Teaching Tool on College Campuses. And Elaine, yes, from Elaine Cole from
mm-hmm.
Portland Community. I love Elaine.
Yeah.
She's
fabulous.
Just
yeah.
a
awesome.
Rock star
yeah.
of
yeah,
a sustainability person. I'm completely, when I just have casual conversations, I'm just like, you know so much about everything. And this,
mm-hmm.
she's wonderful. So you'll have fun with her. That's great. Okay,
yeah,
we
have door prizes at our presentation.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Just to recap who you have been listening to, it is Evan Sugden. Said that right again? Okay, great. From the University of Washington, Mary Whitfield and Gwen Schlichta from Edmonds Community College, and Doctor, which I did not put into the original, Dr. Danny.
I don't respond to that word.
We don't respond.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We're
you have a couple doctors in the room
here?
Okay,
room,
so but we're all casual here, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
You just sharing your wisdom with us all. So, Danny, Nahara, thank you. All of you, have
thank
fun
you.
In your
thank
conference
you. Yeah.
Presentation. And
thanks for doing this.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I think it's so important to share what people are up to and doing good work. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Love them all.
Bees.
And let them all.
There's so much to love with these amazing beings, isn't there? Another big thanks to my guests on this episode and to the good people who organized the 2018 Washington, Oregon Higher Education Sustainability Conference, who have put together such a great programming this year. Be on the lookout for our next episode, which is going to bring the focus into Portland Community College and explore how we became the highest overall ranked associate's college in the U.S. and second overall in North America through the ASHE 2018 Sustainability Campus Index. And a quick shameless plug that relates to today's episode. My wife and I made a children's book called Honey for a Song. It's about a bear who doesn't want to destroy a beehive to get their honey and instead comes up with an ingenious idea to offer them a song of peace instead. The song quickly travels out of the woods and across the world and out to the cosmos. Spoiler alert, she gets the honey. It's a sweet little tale. There's actually a song that goes along with it that is available on Spotify and iTunes as well. Just search for I Will Sing My Heart Out or Honey for a Song. Also, if you're interested in getting a copy of the book, please do check out honeyforasong.com. Well, thank you again for tuning in, folks. Our intro and outro music are by the lovely and talented Rachel Robinson, who happens to be my wife, and this episode was recorded, edited, and produced by me, Joe Colhane. And as you'll start to gather from this program, our goal ultimately is to find peaceful, just, and sustainable ways to move forward in this world, because we all know it can be a struggle trying to go at it alone. An important part of that process is acknowledging our rich diversity and embracing the wonderful assets each of us has to offer. And then, of course, loving them all. Every last one.